You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look at an effort to track breeding birds in Wisconsin and how you can help. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's executive producer Erica Janik.
One of the most well-known figures in Civil War Wisconsin wasn't a person at all, but an eagle named Old Abe. Despite the name and the bird's fame, though, the eagle's gender has been in question for more than a century, until the Wisconsin Veterans Museum ran a DNA test of the feathers. Here's director Michael Telsrow.
Old Abe is the mascot, the bald eagle mascot, of the 8th Wisconsin Volunteer Infantry during the Civil War. Of course, he was adopted by the regiment, served in over 30 battles, was furloughed in 1864, and came back to Madison, where he stayed in the Capitol until he passed away in 1881. They stuffed the remains of Old Abe. So I was not aware that there was a controversy. I had assumed, largely based upon the name of the bird, that it was known to be a male. But we had a staff meeting one day, and my former assistant director said, "Of course, we know that Old Abe is a female." And I said, "How do we know that?" There's a diary from an 8th Wisconsin soldier. I believe his last name is Armitage. He suggested that Old Abe perhaps laid some eggs and that the colonel of the regiment feasted on these eggs. But he was generally discredited by his comrades. In fact, one of the individuals who would frequently make breakfast for the colonel said, "This is absurd. We never had served eagle eggs." But really, where it gets legs is in 1889. Lily Devereux Blake, the famous suffragette, claims that she has firsthand knowledge that the bird laid eggs in the Capitol. And this ignited a huge firestorm of indignation from the veterans, not only of the 8th Wisconsin, but nationally. All the northern veterans who were familiar with the story and took great offense at the suggestion that Old Abe could have been a female. And of course, she and others are challenging ideas of masculinity and the roles in society. So you can imagine sort of, in their minds, attacks this symbol of masculinity and patriotism and victory over the rebellious South was a great affront. Even though we're talking about a bird, this was a big deal. And so, in which way can we make a certain determination on this? So we had four feathers, three of which came directly from the spouse of the handler. The other feather that was given to Governor La Follette by a friend. So they took the samples in March. All four feathers tested well. And we received the news a couple weeks ago. There was a television reporter here the other day interviewing two young girls. And of course, they were hoping that it would be a female because it would show that females could do things. And I thought, that's very sweet. And I feel kind of bad now that we sort of had, I hope they don't interpret it as bad news.
In case you missed it, it's a boy. That was Michael Telsrow, director of the Wisconsin Veterans Museum. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.
Moving ahead to more modern birds of Wisconsin, last year on Central Time, we learned about the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas, a statewide field survey of birds breeding here in the state. Joining us now for an update on the ongoing project is Ryan Brady, research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and the science coordinator for the project. Ryan, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas 2, actually. This is a sequel. Sum up what the project is doing for us.
Well, as you might imagine, an atlas is a mapping-type project, and in this case, we're trying to map breeding birds throughout the state of Wisconsin. We're doing it over the entire state over a 5-year period, And it's Breeding Bird Atlas 2, because this was first done in very similar fashion back in the late 90s, from 1995 to 2000. So the general premise is to put your birding to a greater purpose, and not only know what birds you see and how many of them, but look for little subtleties in their breeding behaviors. Did I see that bird carrying food to its young? Did I find a nest? Did I see territorial or courtship behavior? And then log that into the system as well, so that we can get a more accurate picture of the distribution of the birds that are nesting in Wisconsin, not only as a snapshot in time now, but also to compare it back to that first atlas 20 years ago.
And that's a key part of this. It's a public science project. This is, you're really enlisting the people of Wisconsin to help give this fuller picture.
Well, as you can imagine, we as professionals cannot map all the birds that nest in the state. And in fact, all of our citizen scientists can't do that either. But we do the best we can. And so what we're doing is a grid or a block system. So if you can imagine placing a grid of 3 by 3 mile squares across the entire state, there'll be about 7,000 of those. We're trying to do about a sixth of all of those in a very uniform fashion. And we're enlisting citizen scientists to help cover one of those survey blocks or multiple survey blocks that will help us get it done. So there's absolutely no way we could do this on our own. And to date, we have approximately 1,100 volunteer birders from around Wisconsin who have contributed, and we're hoping that number keeps to rise as we move into year 3, year 4, and ultimately year 5 of the project.
If people are listening and thinking, yeah, I want to sign on, what do they do? How do they get involved?
Well, there's a number of different ways you can get involved. You don't have to be an expert bird watcher. That's the greatest thing. And you can be anywhere in the state. That's probably the second greatest thing. Best thing would be to go to our website, and you'll find a quick start guide there with lots of resources to help you out. But the bottom line is, if you're a bird watcher, let's say you're kind of an avid bird watcher and you feel pretty good with your birds, you probably want to sign up for one of these survey blocks that I mentioned. Then you'd be fully responsible, or mostly responsible, for finding the birds in that survey block for us. But maybe you're not totally comfortable with that, and you kind of like to watch the birds in your backyard, like about 90% of the bird watchers that we have out there. And that's totally fine, too, or maybe down at your local park. You don't have to sign up for a survey block. You can just go and enter the birds you do know into our online database system that'll log your sightings. So there's really a little bit for everyone across the whole spectrum of skill and confidence levels.
Talking to Ryan Brady from the state DNR, looking at the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas 2, a citizen science project that you can help out with. Ryan, you mentioned the first time around this was in the 90s. Technology has changed a bit since then. What is different now to help people do this?
Well, in the very most basic way, we have a website, which we didn't have before. We have social media and email communications that are much more fluent, so we can stay very connected with our surveyors, get information out to them, provide many more resources. But by and far, the biggest improvement is the way in which we collect data. So you can imagine data were collected on paper in the field. They were summarized. They were summed, maybe on a computer later on, but it was a very cumbersome kind of process. Now we have an incredible tool at our disposal. It's called eBird, and many people are probably familiar with eBird. It's an online database for submitting your birds, bird observations, kind of crowdsourcing citizen science bird data, if you will, and it's a really powerful tool. We have a special one made just for this Atlas project, and so it's very similar to the regular eBird program, except it allows you to add these breeding behaviors in these specific blocks that we're looking for.
You know, there's a lot of people out there playing this Pokemon Go who might be ripe for recruiting to your project. They could actually be trying to catch them all and having what they're catching be scientifically useful for you.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm embarrassed or proud to say I don't know a lot about Pokemon Go, but I will say that I've seen a lot of comparisons drawn to birding and a very similar pursuit. And I would say if you're interested in Pokemon Go, you should give birding a try because the concepts are very similar.
Now, the first round of this Atlas back in the 90s, what kind of benefit, what kind of information did we get out of that project?
Oh, it was one of the most defining ornithological projects that we had in the state of the century, quite frankly, as is this one as we start off here in the 21st century. The uses are very widespread, and it's used very frequently in a lot of our conservation planning activities. We have all sorts of status and trend assessments that we make based on this sort of information. It is just a really crucial tool that we need to see on such a broad scale. And I guess that's the point I would like to emphasize here is it is the uniform effort across such a broad scale that is the power of this project. We have a lot of data from bird watchers that we collect from given areas, but we don't have it spread uniformly throughout the entire state like we do here. And so if you have live in, say, a more rural area, unless from away from some of the more populated areas, you have a real chance to contribute here. And in fact, as we move towards the latter parts of this project, that's where we could really use the most help.
I know you've got a few years left on the Atlas, but are you crunching data already that's coming in, and are you starting to see differences or similarities to 20 or so years ago?
Well, it's a little early to see things very clearly. We've had over 52,000 checklists on this eBird program submitted already in the course of the project, documenting literally millions of birds. We've documented 219 species of birds that have been confirmed as breeding. 226 were found throughout the entire first 5 years of the project. But importantly, we're up to 11 species now that have been found breeding in the state in this second atlas that were not found during that first atlas. Things like Kirtland's warblers, an endangered species, or whooping cranes, which folks would be very familiar with. We're seeing some changes. The bald eagle, that was the lead into this program. Bald eagles are on the rise dramatically, and we're seeing that reflected. And here's a little tidbit for you. The bird species that has been found in the second most number of survey blocks across the state, only second to the American robin, is the bald eagle.
Really?
It's been found in 1,139 survey blocks. Yes, so we're seeing some obvious increases in range shifts like that, whether it be due to habitat or climate change or whatever it might be. We're also starting to see some declines, things like grassland birds that are really suffering due to habitat loss, early haying, things of that nature. Common birds that were once common, like whippoorwills or purple martins, we're starting to see some declines in those. So we have some anticipated things that we expect. Things are kind of going towards that trend. What's really interesting are those things we're not expecting that we're going to find, kind of that middle 50% of things that are too subtle to see with your naked eye, but once you kind of map it out with a large project like this, we're going to be able to see those trends.
Ryan, we'll keep checking in with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ryan Brady with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources looking at the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas 2. Coming up, a look at the games we play and what they say about us and our culture. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.